again, thank you very much for coming. A little nicer evening this evening than it was last evening. So nice to see all who are here. We were talking on the way up. This is really the start of 4 weeks. Not that I have been speaking, but 4 weeks since these meetings started. This is an opportunity, not for us to speak, but really an opportunity for you to hear the gospel of how Christ died for your sins. And so that is why these meetings are convened. So tonight we have substitutes for the substitutes. David and I are filling in for those who are filling in for David and Brody. So Brody is on his way back, and Lord willing, he'll be here tomorrow evening. Before we read from the Word of God, we will speak to him in prayer. Our Father, we give thanks tonight for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank thee that there is a peace and there is a joy that comes from knowing the Lord Jesus Christ is Savior. And even when times get difficult, and even for a Christian, they do. And yet we are thankful that we have a confidence in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we understand that there are those tonight and they don't know Christ as Savior. And it would be our desire that tonight they might understand their need. That they might put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless the gospel, give help, we would ask as we look at the Word of God in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to read one verse in John chapter 3 and verse 16. Many, many people here would know this verse by heart. Likely one of the first verses I ever learned by memory. My father had Alzheimer's, dementia before he died. And even just a few weeks before he died, he could still quote John 3:16. We would start it and he would read it right through. He wouldn't read it. He would quote it. So John chapter 3, verse number 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We'll read it again. For God so loved, God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes, whoever puts their trust in him will not perish, will not die in their sins, will not face the judgment of God, but have everlasting, have eternal life. This is likely one of my favorite verses in all of the Bible. Because it is, in one verse, it contains really the core message of the gospel. That God loves the world and gave his Son. And so, in the first part of this meeting, I just want to take this verse and just take a couple of words at a time. And just, we'll look for a few minutes at this verse. And so it says, for God. Now I think most here would understand the concept of what this verse says. God. This supreme being. The one that our Bible tells us has created the world. Everything we see. And this verse tells us about God. I don't know if you've thought too much about God. Some wonder, is there even a God? Well, the Bible states very clearly that there is. And if you look around this world, some would deny that there is, trying to think what the term is that they use, but intelligent design. But really, if you look at all the world around, it is very obvious that there is a design behind it. I have worked with my hands for many years. I've spent many, many hours in a shop rebuilding cars. And where I work full-time, I am a machinist. I use machinery. And everything that we deal with has a designer. The last few years, I have been manufacturing tools and fixtures to hold parts. And if you have the paper drawing down in the corner, it says, this was designed by. And this world is designed by a supreme one, God in heaven. And so we have a God who is very intelligent. We have a God who is all-powerful. The Bible tells us that there is a God. And so this not only talks about God, but it talks about something that actually describes God's character. God so loved. You know, every one of us, we're actually by design, we crave, we desire to be loved. We had my son and his wife and granddaughter for supper. And my granddaughter was at the end of the counter after supper in her little stool and playing with her Play-Doh. And I walked around it and I said, I love hugging you. And there's a desire in our hearts not only to give love, but to feel love. And this verse tells us that the God who has made everything, the God who is over all, says that God so loved. This is not an ordinary love. This is a love that goes almost, well, it does, it goes beyond expression. I might love something, someone, but it may limit what I would do. I might see a neighbor's house on fire and I might love them. But if that fire is so intense, I may not enter into that fire. But suppose it was my wife or my granddaughter or my grandson or my children. That love is likely to be a little more than what I would show to my neighbor. And just maybe if I so loved them, even in spite of the danger, I would act on my love. And this verse tells us that not only did God love, but God so loves. Then it says, God so loved that he gave. You know, our love is expressed by love. Last week was Valentine's Day. Well, my wife didn't get me anything for Valentine's. So should I question her love? Now, just to be fair, I didn't get anything for her either. And that's okay. Our love doesn't hinge on what we get each other for Valentine's. But there are times when, hopefully often, when I give to my wife because I love her. It says that when God so loved that he did something, God gave. Now, I was just thinking of this. When it comes to God's love, I don't know if you've stopped to think about it, but you know what we could do? I was trying to think of who would do this. Probably Brody or somebody else might have done this. But I could go to everyone here. I could start here. Dale, God loves you. And Brody, God loves you. And I could point everyone out and say, God loves. Well, actually, that's not right. God so loves that he gave. The next part of this verse shows us the extent of God's love. God so, actually, that's not the next part. The expanse of God's love is the world. For God so loved the world. Now, this is not, it's not the ball that of Earth. Some of the pictures that they've taken from the moon and the satellites shows a very beautiful Earth. And if you actually go to Genesis chapter 1, when God created heaven and earth, he looked at it and saw that it was very good. And God was pleased. But that's not what this is talking about. God so loved the world is the world of people. And that's why we can say God loves everyone right through the front row, right down. We could go to every individual and say, God so loves the world. God so loves you. That he gave his one and only son. You stop and think about this for a minute. How could a God who is holy, how could a God who is righteous and just, how could he give his son? Why would he give his son? You know, I was thinking about this today. I have one son. I have one daughter. I have one granddaughter. And I have one grandson. And I can never imagine for 1 minute giving any of them for anybody. Just, I wouldn't do it. But it says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave his only son. Did God not love his son? Why would God stoop to the length? Why would God go to such a length is to give his son, his only son? He loved him. In fact, we can read in the Bible that one day when the Lord Jesus was here on earth, there was a voice, there was a cloud come over, there was a voice that this is my beloved son. In him is all my delight. And yet this verse says that God gave his son. God gave his son because he saw a world. Not the ball of dirt, but he saw a world of people, and sin had come in. It had entered into our very first parents. Sin come in. And that has been the problem through every generation, through every heart, from that day until now. God says, unless sin is dealt with, sin must be punished. That person cannot enter heaven. The Bible tells us in the Old Testament, the soul that sins will die. That's actually why there's a funeral home just across the road. There's another in Summerside. And all around, Because of sin, it has brought in physical death, but it also has brought in spiritual death. You and I, as we are born spiritually dead. No response to God. God says, I am going to give my son, even though I love him, even though he is all my delight, I am going to send him into this world, into that world. And the Lord Jesus Christ came. He was born as a baby in Bethlehem. And he grew up. And God knew, and the Lord Jesus knew, that one day he would be nailed to a cross. And there he would take the punishment for sin. That is why God gave his son. That is the extent of the love of God. God loved the world so much that he was willing to give his only son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. Now, by the way, the Lord Jesus didn't come unwillingly. He was more than willing, and we could almost say, he would say, I will go. I am going to give my life because I want to see them saved. I don't want to see boys and girls and men and women be punished for their sins. I will take their place. And so it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But let's look at the last part of the verse. It says that whoever will believe on him. Do you know tonight that this gospel message is just not for those who are here in this O'Leary Gospel Hall? This message, this invitation can go through the whole world. It is available to everyone. And the Bible says that whoever will just take it for themselves. It is available to whoever. Whoever wants it. You know, different people up here have spoken here, and my son-in-law, I think the first time he spoke here, he put a $50 bill or a $100 bill, I forget what it was. He put it right here in the corner. Nobody would go for it. And he asked me after, he said, I thought you would go for it. And I said, well, I wasn't going to take your money. I didn't really need it. But I could have took it. But there are some things that don't apply to me. There are offers that can be given that don't apply to you. But this offer of salvation applies to the whole world. That whoever believes on him. You know what? God is not asking us to do anything big or costly. There are people, and if they were told, if you crawled on your hands and knees from here to Toronto, your sins would be forgiven, they would do it. But God says you don't have to do that. God says, my salvation is free. All you need to do is just accept it for yourself. I remember a few years ago, some here might know her. She's a Filipino. Giselle. Used to come to the meetings in Springfield, and one day I was speaking with the kids in Sunday school. And I was speaking about believing. And I said, how do you believe? How do you trust? And Kevin's youngest guy, Avery, he was just 4 or 5 years old. And I think I was using a chair. And I said, well, how do I trust the chair? And Avery says, just rest on it. And Jay Selzer said, that's all there is. I just need to rest on what God says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever rests on the Lord Jesus Christ, whoever will just trust in him will not perish. You know, to perish is the greatest of all tragedies. To perish really is the idea of leaving this life not saved. Leaving this life not having your sins forgiven. Perish means to suffer eternally for your sins. And it is a tragedy because you don't have to. Because the Lord Jesus Christ has done everything that needs to be done. Whoever believes in him will not perish. But have everlasting life. You know, we live in a world where prosperity is known by the things we have. We like a nice house. I love nice cars. And we think that satisfaction, happiness, comes by the things that we have. You know, the greatest of all possessions is not things, but is in a person. You know, of the dearest things on earth is not our things, it's people. But that's not what this verse is talking about. It's not talking about my wife being the greatest possession that I have. Not my grandchildren, not my children. I love them all dearly. But the greatest possession that I could ever have, the greatest possession that you can have tonight, is found in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And with him comes eternal life. That whosoever believeth in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. If you would accept, if you would just rest on what this verse is saying, that God has given his son to take away your sin, to die in your place. Tonight you could have true peace. Doesn't mean that everything will go smooth, but it does mean that you have eternal life, that your sins are forgiven. And that could be yours tonight. Why? Because God has given his son to die for your sins. Listen to these words as I sit down. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have. Could have it right now. That's what I have. I was 15 years old when I understood the truth of this. And I realized that Christ died for me. Should not perish, but have everlasting life.